with Thais, you all know, only talk about halacha. But because of awkward beginnings, and this, like a few new guys here, they have no idea what's about to go on. Okay. So I will introduce myself through, you know, telling you a little bit about the Ben Azman for me. Of course, there'll be some type of Tayelis of Moser, this is Hashem. I can't do this. First of all, I broke two ribs. First of all, I've been working around with a girdle for the last 2 weeks, right? Or gartle or whatever. The rib, I could tell you Moser about in a moment. You missed me, didn't you? Right. The most awkward of all is that the new guys don't even know yet, you know, they don't know if they're allowed to laugh yet. You know, they have to look at the guy next to him to see, you know. Why is Mandel like, Mandel's a little bit weird, you know. He's not a Raya. You missed me, right? No more smoking. Okay. So, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk about Elul for a moment. Elul and Halacha, you know, there's a lot to talk about in Elul and Halacha, and hopefully we'll get there today if there's time. Different inyanim Halacha that come up in Elul, but you know, in order to break the ice, I'd like to tell you about my trip to England. I'd like to tell you, you have no idea what's about to go on here, but I'd like to tell you about my trip to England, and I have pictures also. Right. And it's like this. I do that thing. It's like this. I was told. I heard from Avolba Zichron Levracha 20 some odd years ago that he went to England, and when he went to England, he wanted to visit Buckingham Palace. He wanted to see Buckingham Palace. Right. And I must tell you. I never heard from him. I never heard it, you know, he spoke about it because of Malucha and Malchus and whatnot. And I tried to hear in the most, tried as much as possible that I can, to try to figure out what would someone as great as Revolba try to be thinking about when he would be going toward Buckingham Palace, right? So I went with my wife, right? And we drove to Buckingham Palace. And I want to tell you the setup. As we were driving, okay? I was going in with the mindset that, you know, you see in this week's Parsha a lot, all about Melech and Melucha and Malchus, and Rosh Hashanah is coming, and Rosh Hashanah is a lot about Malchus, and it's important in order to prepare for that day, which you have the whole entire Elul to prepare for that day, for that, you know, the whole Elul is preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So it's important to have a little bit of understanding of Malchus. You know, we live in a world where the level of Malchus has not been at the same level and covered in the world. Like, you know, Donald Trump is, you know, he's a dude, but he's not exactly the dogma and bastion of Malchus. Like, if he would show up one day in a Speedo, I don't think anybody would have a kasha. And whatever. What words am I not allowed to say around the new guys? You give me like a paper afterwards. What? His purpose is fine. Okay, so.
We can cover it.
Huh? I think we should. I have notes. You're about to see what I have. I have good stuff here. You miss me a lot, no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, I went to the Baruch and Musar to try to hear what's Malchus and what is it? Once you'll understand Malchus, you'll understand what you're supposed to be doing in Elul to try to get toward that day. Okay? So, I'll go Kaseder. You know, it's a tremendous, it's very eye-opening. When you go to Buckingham Palace, so it doesn't just, you know, all of a sudden you drive up and there's the palace. It's not like that. It's not like that. I thought that's how it's going to be. You're going to just drive up, there's the palace. Yeah, Shrag if you were expecting it. It's not like that. It's Merit Gezach. You drive down, there's a road. Right? Listen closely, because if you listen closely, you can start to understand what's Elul. You drive down a road, and it's incredible. All of a sudden, the area around the palace. You know, you were just now a moment ago in town. It's like busy and imagine all of a sudden the whole area changes. It's incredible. Imagine like in the middle of a very busy area, all of a sudden it just changes. The road is red. It's incredible. The road is red. There's like a red carpet over here, and right, Sammy, where was Mike? But there's a red. It's red. It's Mama Chapella, right? We spoke about this, but it's red. It's a Pella Digga thing. And you're driving on a road, and all of a sudden, from town, from craziness, it became more peaceful. But not just not peaceful. It became like you start getting a hergish that something incredible is over here. Right, something good. Now, I know today the whole malucha is just a lot of lakshin and whatever, but that's not the point. The point is to try to understand like what's malchus, and Chazal tell us this. That's what you're supposed to be doing in Elul to get toward Rosh Hashanah, and then you'll understand what the Elul is supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do. You look at the red road, and all of a sudden, and the trees, and everything is beautiful over there. Right? Everything's beautiful, and it's in Mer Dikazach. You get to a part where there's three gates. At these three gates. You know, it's a Daka, you know about this? So I didn't know this, right? So there's three gates, and there's two of them that you're supposed to drive through, and there's one gate, which is only for the queen. No one else is allowed to drive through that gate except for the queen, yes. So I didn't realize. So all these cars, these idiots are waiting over here. Oh, it's not even close to what's about to. I have no idea what's about to go on here. No, you have no idea what's about to go on. Right? So, I drive, you know, I pass all these fools. Right? My wife's like, no, I don't know. Of course you're allowed to. She tells me, no, don't you chat with people like this. I tell her, no, this is for Jews. I drive down this road. At the end of this road is a gate that's closed, right? But you can't see it because you're coming from that direction, whatever. You're on the wrong side of the road. Right? Oh, nice. So at the end of the gate, so my wife is, you know, now this is her chance to explain it to you. No, the only person that can go through here is the queen. I love that, Moiridik. Right? The only person that goes through here, you start to the hair. So now I have to start explaining to them, right? No, sorry, man, I'm from New York. Oh, you kike. So, wait, kike is a word. I can't remember what the word is. That's it. So here I am driving down the wrong side of the road, but I love that. That's like my first thing. There's something moiridic about to happen over here. The only person that's here is the queen. You know, she's the only one that's allowed to go through this gate. There's something royalty mouth. Then you go a little further, you get in to through the gates, the one that you're supposed to go through. But it's a pella. It's really no nafkamina at all. It just shows you something here is miyuchad, right? This is malchus. Because Betzim, we're all coming to the same area anyways, right? But no, she's the only one that could go through. Okay. So then we go through. Now, you know, you have a big house and a big this and a big garden. There's something unbelievable. Once you finally get there, you see it's like, you can't just walk into the palace, right? There's a massive, from here all the way to the palace, there's a massive, massive, hell here. I have over here the pictures. We'll see soon. All right, all the pictures from the trip. Right. Here. From here, all the way from here to here, is massive. Right? That's me. That's me. From here to here, all the way to here, is the. It's massive. You don't just come in there. You don't just come in there. No, that's not me. We'll get there. Then you go, then there's a gate, and then in front of the gate, okay, you know about all the guardsmen with the whole, you know, the Bekish and the Spadik and the whole Matadon. And then it's like a whole area until the thing, okay? Now, there, I had someone, I was giving shirim in England, right, to, I don't talk like this there, that's why it's, you know, that, you know, it's a different, you know, they think he's a serious guy, you know, right? And he got us into a, see like a certain private tour of the Malucha, right? The palace garden. And it's a Marit Gezach. You go into the palace, you go into one chamber, and all of a sudden, it's not like you just walk in and then all of a sudden this is where the queen sits. And this, you go into one like corridor, and then you go into a bigger corridor. It's just a Marit Gezach. I can't explain it until I'm trying to bring you there. I'm there right now. So I'll do whatever I can to get. I'm there. I'm seeing it. You go into one corridor, then you go into another corridor, right? And you go into another, right? And it's bigger and bigger. And then on the wall is pictures of her babas and zaydas and you know, face, and like it tries to show you she's not just like, you know, she's not just coming from nowhere. This is monarchy. This is royalty. This is real. You know, this is not just like, you know, a no one. And then you go in finally into another chamber, and then there's a room and no one. You can't go in there. You're not allowed in there, right? And then behind that room is another room where in that room is a throne. Okay? Not a toilet, Rabbi Zuckerman. That's over there, it's a toilet, right? And over there is a throne, and the only one that can sit on that throne is the queen. No one else in the world has ever sat on that chair, ever. Right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe the previous, you know, at least in her world, when she's been the queen, no one has sat in that chair. And last, I think she's like 140 years old, but like the last something, because 70 years, nobody sat on that chair. And this is Mamish. Okay, he was telling us, I'll explain soon what this has to do with us. Don't worry. All right? So, I'm going to get to my notes in a minute. Right? So, there's something called a garden party. So, when I was in there, it was like a private tour. So, when I was in there, so someone asked us, are you here for the garden party? So, you know me, right? I was like, maybe. What's that garden party? That's a garden party, right? So it tells me, Murdick, you know what a garden party is? Our person that was giving us a private tour, he explained to us what a garden party. We were not invited to the garden party. The queen in the summertime, she had garden parties. Right? What's a garden party? Garden party is that you get invited to like a tea with the queen and whatever. I was like, listen, I wouldn't even touch her. I wouldn't even drink her wine if she touched it. So I'm not afraid of anybody, right? So you get invited to a garden party. But he told us something, Moira Dick. He said, when you get invited to a garden party, you get a book. That book, like you know, like wow, so you get like a sefer like this big, right? In the sefer is all types of, first of all, it's all types of people. You know, this person is called Your Highness, right? I'm gonna say that in a bad way, right? This person is called my Excellence, right? And this person, this, and you get a whole book that you have to read before you go to the garden party to know what exactly is about to go on here. You can't just come in and roll into the malucha, into the palace, into the garden party. You have to get a feel of the whole matziv. Okay, let's go slowly. We'll come to these notes in a moment. Let's go slowly, all right? You know, right away, you're getting a picture. You can't just fall into a Rosh Hashanah. You can't just fall into Rosh Hashanah and like, if you say, you know, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, you're just gonna walk right in. It doesn't work like that. There's a long, long road. It's a beautiful road. It's for Melucha. And there's a gate that only they can go through. And then you go into one chamber, into another chamber. And a person has to have the whole book that he has to read, right? We'll call it an Elul and whatever. That when he comes on that day, there's a certain protocol when you're going to come to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, when there's Malchus. You can't just get up and say, you have to know how to, you have to, you know, some of us, our Kalim, our davening tools, then it works. So we were in the big city for the entire year. The whole year is very busy, and it's a whole matzav, and you can't just roll in from there. All of a sudden, the entire tzur and the entire setup has to change. You have to go from that craziness, that wild, the summer of all, especially, and then you have to have the red road has to come in, and then you have to read the book. You have to know how to talk when you're in the base melucha. You have to know how to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have to know how to talk about melucha, and it doesn't just happen. You have to have this awe, and that was my understanding, Misama, what Revolva. Why it was important to him to see Melucha. I imagine it wasn't for him just a Rosh Hashanah. For him, it was probably much more. It was also just, you know, a whole lifetime of understanding what's Malchus. But for us, you know, the Kol HaPalchus, you can live like this for a few days, for 20 days that are left of Elul, the 25 days that are left of Elul, it's different. I can't just roll into a Rosh Hashanah. That was my first experience in Malchus. But then I was intrigued, but most of all, I was intrigued about these guards. These guys, I was intrigued by these guys. Right? Yes, I did try to make them laugh. Right? I was not successful. I did the whole thing. I took out my payas and the whole thing, right? The whole works, right? I was very intrigued, right? I asked him, standing right next to him, right? It was 80 degrees, about 30 degrees Fahrenheit. 80 degrees. He's wearing these big, thick shotness baguettes on his name. Like, you know, he's got like a whole goat on him, this guy. He's got like these big pants, belt, a spodek, you know. I dressed up on Purim. I mean, I dressed up every Purim. Like, I dress up on Purim. You know already my costume. I don't really care. I dress up on Purim like a chassidish guy on the way back from the mikvah. Right? That's my costume. What's the, where did that come from? It came like this. Because the first year I dressed up like a Chassidisha guy. So I wore a straw hat. The worst pair of my life. Right? It was mamish, like a big, just a whole beaver on my head. It was hot. It was incredible. Right? And, you know, so then I said, well, I'm going to wear a straw hat. It's very hot and very heavy. And so, you know, the next pair of my side, I'll dress up like a Chassidisha guy coming back from the mikvah. And that's much more, I guess, airy. I don't mean a Chassidisha guy in the mikvah, relax. It's a much more like, it's a much more airy costume. Shine, right? That was personal. Well, you'll watch it. He's sitting there. So I tell the guy, I'm asking the guy, it's 80 degrees. And then, you know, I topped it after, but my wife keeps telling me that in Celsius in England, it's like 21 degrees and whatever. It's like 21 degrees. No, it's not 21 degrees. And I'm telling him it's 80 degrees. You're wearing this big furry hat and the big furry clothing. He doesn't move. It's Moira Dick. It's Moira Dick, right? I had to get more about this because this is already, you know, the people that are there, the queen's men, you know, these are the people that are there by the malucha. It's just giving me more of a limit of what a person, how he's supposed to be an Eved Lahavdil, but an Eved of Hashem Lahavdil. And I did a lot of homework, a lot of research about these guys, and I want to tell you what I found. Mm-hmm. I found some of the most incredible things ever. And of course, as usual, I will try to explain. Now, let me explain, Rabbi Yisai. I will start with, I don't even know where to begin. Okay? So, it's 80 degrees, and where do we begin? I'll try to... Okay, it's 80 degrees, and how do you... You can't drink for 3 straight hours, you're standing still, okay? 3 hours, you're standing still, right? Some of us that are yakas are, you know, they go from Fleischer to Milk, okay? Right? 80 degrees, you're standing still, and you can't move. You're in the sun. You're sitting smack in the sun. Right? So what do you do? So for Shteitzach, you have to drink before, and you're not allowed to faint. Okay? You think I'm joking? I am not joking. 1 second. We're going to get there? We're going to get to everything. Right? We're going to get there. 1 minute. Right? Yeah, I'll get there right now. Right? Standing outside in the sun for hours on end, dressed in a fur hat and layers of thick clothing. We'll see in a moment why there are layers of thick. It's not just a pair of black pants. What? No. Oh, no. He's him. You can see. That doesn't get. That's it. Right. Layers of thick clothing. He's wearing thick, thick, right? This Nordic and the Unterhäusen and the Gatkes and the Dottich. The whole thing is one big. He's walking around with a Goda shawarma around his neck. Layers of thick clothing is not an easy task. And even some of the most disciplined guards succumb to the heat. But, and you're not allowed to faint. We'll see in a moment they get a $260, 200-pound fine. But even when fainting, there's a protocol that has to be, I love this. I should love this. There's a protocol that has to be followed, right? I love this. Oh, my rib's about to hurt. I've been holding back the whole time. If a guard, I can't, Mandel, you want to read it? If a guard starts to feel... I'm davening now, you have no idea. If a guard starts to feel a bit lightheaded while on duty, they are trained to faint to attention. meaning, I'm about to, I don't do this, I'm in pain. If I didn't have a broken rib, I would do it right now just to show you guys love this. Meaning, they have to keep their discipline posed. I can't do it. Oh, you never saw this, did you? I gotta make it tighter. I can't. My second senior guy's having a field day with me. You know those clever, right? Meaning, you have to keep a discipline posed even when falling to the ground. Okay. This is why often you see pictures of a passed out guard lying flat on his face. This is very serious, don't laugh. This is very serious. He goes down like a socket wrench. It's unbelievable. Even if it will mean, this takes, right here, this takes, I can't read it, it's killing me. This takes years of training. Years of training, you have no idea, right? You have to be willing to lose your teeth forever. Tough guy. Right? It says you're a tough guy. Your nose, right? It's gonna make a left turn. right? For the rest of your life, right? Imagine if these guys were Jewish, it would be like imagine the guy who'd be like, you know, it'll wrap around his you know, it reminds me of a story, I know. She's not coming in today, right? Remember the story? There's once a guy on a date with a girl. Right? No, you guys have to get from me also the shetuchim today. But I teach her halacha. You guys know it's coming. The chaselul and all that stuff. But there's once a guy on a date with a girl. No, you need to know these things because you're going to be on a date one day. And you need to know what to talk and how to say and whatever. So you're on a date with a girl, right? And he had these like boxes on his ears. You're like these, you know, like so the girl, you know, she said. You know the girl. So she says, what's with the boxes? He says, I'm not gonna say. So just tell me what's with the boxes. Just you know, tell me. So you know, it's already in the middle of the date. She already, you know, she got a Sprite out of him. So like, you know, like what's with the boxes? No, I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna tell you because you're just gonna laugh at me. You're just gonna laugh at me. So she says, I'm not gonna laugh. Just tell me what's in the boxes, right? He says, all right, I'll show you. So he takes off the box and he starts unraveling the ear. It's like a massive ear. The guy has like a whole long thing. So she starts laughing, right? She starts laughing, you know, right? So she said, you see, that's it. I'm not showing you the other one because it's bigger. You have to, this guy with the nose and the whole, you know, that's a damn matzav, you know? You have the matzav over here. So they like, Rabbi Zayt, you have this, the desire, delayed reaction, right? 5 yards, Mandel, right? You have the desire, so watch this. This is the part I wanted to read you, okay? So what do? So for Shteytzelk, it's 80 degrees Celsius or Fahrenheit, I don't know. So you take 5 liters of water beforehand. Do you guys remember like Erev Yom Kippur? You know that one last swig, you know what I'm talking about, right? Brian Kipper, you know, like as if it's going to work. You know, your toes are like, why us, right? One last one, it goes all the way 5 liters of water and then they go to the side. Now, everybody say, yeah? There's no, yeah, so what do you do? All right? You know, what it's, so it's like this. The layers are thick for a reason, everybody say. Oh. That's it. Okay? Okay, right? Asher, Yatsar, Asher. The neighbors are there. So, the guardsmen posting on Reddit, I guess that's the toilet or something, right? They called on a parade in front of a large crowd. One of my fellow guardsmen needed to relieve himself and couldn't hold it any longer, right? He was on the front row and left a huge, obvious puddle where he was, right? Some of the crowd noticed and started laughing. Right. Then they talk about the one that fell, and you heard splash. Now I can't be Meirich, as you understand why. Right? But I want to tell you something, Rabbi Isai. You know what it is to be now. You know what a Neved Hashem is. Let me tell you something. We Klal Yisrael, we won't do things like this. Let me tell you something. There was a Jew that was in Siberia. I heard the story from his great nephew. There was a Jew that was in Siberia, this Jew that I heard it from, he's a very wealthy man, and he's the son of a very wealthy man. And he had an uncle that was Nifter, and he told us a story about his uncle that came out during the Shiva. What was the story? The story was his father was a wealthy man, and he told his brother that, you know, his brother was missing a few teeth in the front, he was missing 4 teeth over here. And he told his brother he'll pay for his dentistry. He'll pay to get him implants, and he'll pay to take care of it. So he said no, and he never told anybody why he doesn't want that. He doesn't want it. He looked a little strange, and he this, right? Right before he was Nifter, he told his nephew, his brother already was in the Olam Hamas, he told his nephew right before he was Nifter, he told him, I want to explain to you why. You always thought I was strange, right? He said, listen, I was in Siberia, okay? In Siberia, you have to work every single day, no games, right? It's like, you know, it's worse than yeshiva. No, you have to work every single day. That there's one thing that you could do. Me, I don't work in Yom Kippur. No way. Yeah, Mashiach, I'm not working in Yom Kippur. That's it. He says, what do you do? So you go to the infirmary. You tell them you have a toothache. In those days, when there was a toothache, so there was Nishkevenkin, Novocaine. You know, there was no Novocaine. There was no this. And there was no whatever. So they tied you up, right? And they yanked it out. And you would faint from the pain. He said, I was in Siberia for 4 years, and I never worked on Yom Kippur. Okay, you know what a yid is? A yid is someone that's willing, right, for the king, I will do. Now, no one's asking you, okay, to faint and to puddle and to, right? No one's asking you this. But the sug of malchus, the sug in Elul, that, the sug of malchus, the sug of that, I can't just look where I want to look. I can't just say what I want to say. I can't just, you know, I'm not telling you to stand straight for 3 hours and fall to this, right? But the sug, it's the same as sug that we started out with of malchus. That's what you got to work on now in Elul. Just the sug, I can't do, if there's a melech, and you appreciate all that first part of the story that we spoke about, I can't just do what I want to do. And you know, I do have to leave because I have to be somewhere. Unfortunately, I love you guys. But I want to tell you one more story. Now, Mr. Shem, next week we'll talk halacha like we're supposed to. Right? I want to tell you one more story. I heard a story. There was a great Jew who was a neighbor of mine who was Nifty Young now. He went to Moshe Shapiro. He was told he has 1 month to live. This is what he told him. So he told Moshe Shapiro, what do I do? What should I work on? What should my avodah be? I only have 1 month to live. Okay? So Moshe Shapiro is a great Jew. He told him, he said to him, it's very schwer. No, he wasn't telling him his matzah this year. He said, what do you do in a month? What do you have? He told him it's very schwer. He says, you know what you do? He says, you have a house over here that you built, right? He says, so you build a second floor and you live on it for the month. That's what he told him. Okay? In other words, what does it mean? It means, you know, we're not holding by davening the way we should. We're not holding by learning the way we should. We're not holding by our midas the way we should. And whatever we're holding, we're not. But you know what? You know, times like this require us to build a second floor, right? And to live there, even if you feel you don't belong there for 1 month. I heard the same thing from Moshe Shapiro about Elul. Okay, I'm not holding there. I'm not there. But you can't just fall into a Rosh Hashanah. You have to take the book from the garden party. And you can't just fall into a Rosh Hashanah and I'll start screaming Hashem Melech and Hashem Moloch and whatnot. That is why you need this time. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? I'm not telling you to yank out your teeth. They won't work on your kippur. I don't. My eyes will not look where Jewish eyes shouldn't look. I'll live on the second floor. Okay? I'll daven the way I'm supposed to daven for 30 days. I'll practice to get me into the mode of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Now next week will be, of course, more serious. We'll be more serious. Right? And, can I tell you one more thing about my rib? Yes. Just one more thing? No, the story about the rib, that'll come next week. But I tell you one more thing? This rib is mar de gazach. I want to tell you one thing. Okay? I want to tell you the real reason why I'm wearing this. Okay? I'm going to tell you the real reason. The real reason why I'm wearing this is because, you'll see, next Friday I won't be wearing it again. The real reason, to kind of hilchos Shabbos Shiloh also, because you'll hear why I'm wearing it. I'm wearing it because batsim, it keeps me straight, but you know, it doesn't. I'm on a painkiller now, it's not so bad. The real reason I'm wearing it is because when people see you wearing this thing, you should see the other guy. The real reason I'm wearing this is because when somebody sees me wearing this, right, they know it's like, you know, not to touch him and stay away, whatever, right? Like all the people that didn't know I had a broken rib. So I wear it the first time I go into all the shirim, the second time I still wear it every day. You guys understand why. But I wear it, oh yeah, because I want, you know, that it means like, you know, it's what am I going to do, wear a sign, you know, stay away. Right? So this means, you know, don't come near and look, but don't touch. And, you know. Somebody the other day came over to me. I didn't see, I was wearing this. And it's just like, you know, Shemalaytem, Rabbi. Like that, and put his arm like that. Right? When you touch me here like this, right? And I sit there the whole entire time, like nervous. I'm not nervous now because, you know, this is the real reason I'm telling you all this, but because no one's going to touch me now. No one's going to, you know, that's it, right? You know, your parents are going to ask you, what did the Rebbe talk about? He was talking about no one should touch him. Huh? Okay. Okay. And he kept saying, the Rashiv is not here now. Anything else? Kike. So, Tachlis, why am I telling you this? A lot of us, we have issues and things that we have to work on in life. Bitachin, bad midas, we've got even time. But we walk through life like, you know, it's okay. You know, I'll get by. Right now, bitachin, I'll be okay, whatever, you know. A kas, I have a bal kas, you know. You know, but like unless somebody presses the button, I'm okay, right? But if it's in there, and it's in there, if you don't work on it now, right? So when it's gonna get touched, you're gonna scream your voice out, You're going to have an issue now. You know, somebody came to me on Ben Hazman. We had a whole issue with Parnassa and business and Bitachin. I told him, you know what? I'm telling you, with a little bit of Bitachin, a little bit, you wouldn't be having the Agnes Nefesh you're having now. But this is something you had to have worked on 15 years ago, so you've got to start now. You know, I wasn't telling him, you know. But I'm just saying, so sometimes you think to myself, what do I need Bitachin now? Right now, my parents give me money. From Shema. What do I need, you know? I have a Midas Akas. So I have problems with anger issues. I have anger issues and whatever. Okay, fine, you know, in the dormitory, whatever. You can get by. Right? It's going to come out, Rabbi Yisai. You're going to be married one day. It comes out. You know? I was at a Shabbat Brachas right before Ben Hazman. Right before the 3 weeks. Whatever. I was at a Shabbat Brachas. And so the person got up and he was saying it. You know, they all say that the second day after you get married, you're going to find out what's really the story with this guy. You know, that's with him, you know, his mama, you know, the whole thing. I was like, you know, I was like repeating it with him. You're not going to find out. right. But it's like, this is like, it's the most, you know, right now, I can walk, nothing bothers me, But I'm always nervous someone's going to touch it in the wrong place. You're saying, so good. We have what to work on. And if anybody wants to see the puddles and the pictures, I'll show you. Good Shabbos, everybody.